Well, hello, 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 and come on in. You're listening to Kevin Durgeon here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, available online via the UK Health Radio app and also via Alexa. A rather warm welcome to Acupuncture Point. I know, wasn't that a rather slinky way to start off the show? Hello there, hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgeon here on UK Health Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting this week's Acupuncture Point. So, we really do have a wonderful, wonderful show lined up for you today. We're going to meet Vivian Shaw, who is a rather fantastic acupuncturist and researcher. And we're going to be talking to her about her investigations of the human body. And she has come up with some really, really wonderful theories about why acupuncture works and also why acupuncture points are located where they are. And we're also going to play another rip-roaring round of Game of Themes. And if you too would like to join in the fun, all you need to do is to see if you are able to connect the dots and to guess the common theme that links together all of the glorious music that I'm going to be playing for you in today's Acupuncture Point.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
There, you're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for supporting Acupuncture Point. You've got absolutely no idea what a kick I get out of saying we've got over 1.4 million listeners every single week. So to each and every single one of you, thank you so much for your support and for helping us to share the love. One of the absolute treats that I have as a presenter is that I get to connect with some of the really fascinating people from the world of acupuncture, people who have worked and worked and worked over the years in order to help to progress acceptance of our beautiful system of medicine. And my guest today, Vivian Shaw, has done so much work to support the world of acupuncture. She has been a researcher for many, many years. I used to run a research symposium several years ago, and Vivian would often come to us and share her research into acupuncture and linking this with the underlying anatomical structures. So in addition to this work, she's also the new accreditation officer for the British Acupuncture Accreditation Board. And on top of that, she has been an acupuncturist now for what? Over 20 years, 24 years or so, I believe. And I'm so thrilled that Vivian is here today to discuss her theories of acupuncture points and why they are where they are. So welcome, first of all, to you, Vivian Shaw.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
So Vivian, this research is currently setting the world a little bit on fire. I'd love it if you could introduce your work and tell us a little bit about the research that you've been recently involved in.
I would love to. So I had an idea about 12 years ago. I was doing some anatomy and I looked at the body and I had a proper eureka moment where I looked at it and I went, acupuncture, it's real, it's physical. I don't have to believe in magic in order to be an acupuncturist. And that sent me off on a road where I studied biology, I retrained as an anatomist, I ended up as a lecturer in anatomy at Bangor School, Bangor University. So this whole kind of embracing of science and then bringing my understanding of anatomy to bear on looking at what I knew about acupuncture from clinical practice.
Gosh, well, so many of us acupuncturists, we sort of reject things like, you know, science. No, we are doing things in a very different way. We're connecting with the chi. We love talking about things like this. And I'm fascinated to hear more about what your studies have taught you. So what has your study of anatomy and the underlying physical structures, what has that taught you about? And what has that revealed to you about acupuncture points?
So there are recorded instances of dissection. So when the original texts were done, this is 2000 years ago, roughly. And in those texts, they say that they want to dissect the body, measure and the blood vessels in order to help with disease. And so I have been kind of looking at the body and looking at all of the texts that they wrote. So there are a whole series of anatomical texts that were written at the time where they say they did dissection. And so I am going, if nobody had told me what I was going to find, if nobody had pre-prepared my mind, if I was looking at a human body without any preconception about what I was going to find, how would I make sense of it? What would be important to me? What would I care about? What would seem really important and relevant, and sort of what things would I find that I would puzzle over and wonder, what does that do? How does that work? And so that's the kind of the spirit of inquiry that I've tried to bring to my research.
Okay. So I would like, I believed, my belief was that there wasn't much in the way of dissection. Sorry if you're eating your breakfast, but, you know, we're talking about important things here. So I was of the belief that there wasn't much in the way of dissection in ancient China. Is that the truth or?
So yes and no. There is ancestor worship. There's great reverence for the ancestors within Confucian beliefs, and still is. And so to dissect somebody's body is kind of to do something that is awful, terrible. And so it was part of punishment for criminals. And in some ways, it's sort of almost like the ultimate punishment. Is like you don't just execute somebody, but you then also dissect them. And that is a bigger and a stronger. And it's sort of something that's more or less reserved for traitors. Certainly the individual who is on record as having been dissected, he was a traitor to the emperor.
Fascinating. Okay, so we've got, according to my studies of acupuncture, I know that there are meridians of energy that flow around the body. How do those meridians correspond to anatomical structures, or do they?
So yes, they do. By and large, the most important thing that they were looking at, in my opinion, was the blood vessels. So, you know that if you bleed, I mean, half the population bleeds monthly. You know that when you bleed, you get tired, you get pale. You know that if you cut yourself and you bleed a lot, then you can die. So there is this really obvious connection between blood and life, and life force as well. But the problem that you have if you're looking at a cadaver is that all the blood vessels are full of blood. So that's a real conundrum. You know, if all your blood is still there, then there must be something else that happens that animates you. So that's one conundrum. But so I think what they were looking at was how do we look at the body and understand where the blood goes, because we know that's definitely involved. Mm. And then what about this other stuff, and where does that come into it? And if you die, or when you die, the last thing that happens is that your heart contracts. So you have this sort of muscle that is the two ventricles, which are the bottom parts of the heart, and then you have two atria. So one part of the heart is a muscle that's clenched tight, and the other half of the blood of the heart is full of blood, as is the lungs, as is every organ. And what that has done is it's pushed all of the blood through the arteries. So your arteries are hollow tubes. Your veins are full of blood. And your nerves are just, they're kind of sort of like rubbery texture. And so everywhere in your body, those three things, the arteries, the veins and the blood, they travel together as a neurovascular bundle. Is the name that it's called. So you get those three things. You get your hollow tube, you get your blood-filled tube, and you get your solid tube, or your solid thing. And you've got these three things running everywhere together. And the one that you know about is the one that's got blood in it. And the other two, who knows? But you know that they are also involved. And so what they did, or what my dissections show, is that they mapped really, really precisely everywhere that the blood flows, all the way to the very tips of your fingers, to the tops of your head, and everywhere where there was a junction. In anatomy, you call it an anastomosis, but let's go with a junction. And there's a lot of the language that they use to describe where points are is based on the language of rivers and streams and seas, and so it's this idea of you have flow, you look at the things that you definitely know what they are, you also map alongside them the hollow things and the dense things that you don't quite know what they are, but you know that they're important. And then you make this map. And so where the acupuncture points are is at every junction, every important bit. So they are the places where you can feel a pulse, yes, as well, but they are also wherever a nerve diverges or a blood vessel diverges and goes off. And then you map, where do they end up? So there are points that are at the ends of every finger and every toe. Mm. Yeah. So this is where the blood vessels are ending up. That's the end point. At the tops of the head, on the forehead, again, you've got a whole series of endpoints. We call them terminal arteries, terminal veins, you know, or places where the nerves become so fine and so thin you can't see them anymore. And the map that they drew is exquisite. It's so detailed. And then you have these points, which are, there's a thing here, there's a thing here, there's a thing here. So my favorite analogy, my favorite analogy is like country directions. So, you know, you come over the bridge and then you turn left and you keep going until you come to the enormous big elm tree. You hang a right by the elm tree. That brings you out by the Rose and Crown. You end up at the antelope and we're just up on the left. You know? Yes. And you don't bother with the bits in between. Pick out the landmarks. And so that's what I think they're doing.
So from what you've described, I guess, okay, when I was studying acupuncture, I remember we had various wonderful, wonderful people coming in to teach us. And we had the question of, why are the acupuncture points where they are? And I know that I've heard this explanation that practitioners of Qigong, Chinese exercise, they were able to visualize where the acupuncture points were. In relation to your thesis, is there any truth in this?
So I also was given the same explanations, which partly was what led to me going, I don't have to believe in magic, because I struggled with that, if I'm honest. Having also done a lot of Tai Chi, I mean, it is true, you do feel things moving in your body. You know, you do get a really strong sense of your own movement, of sort of the flow within yourself as you do Tai Chi. So I don't think that these things are incompatible.
Lovely. Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. You've not cancelled Christmas. Okay. Now, we've got specific acupuncture points. So many people know stomach 36, which is located just underneath your knee on the outside, where the bone begins to flare. Is there any explanation for why and how, is there any anatomical explanation rather, for as to why these points have the specific function that they do have?
So looking at it from a perspective of one of my colleagues that was 2000 years ago, when you're looking at how the blood flows down through your leg, it kind of comes over the pelvis and then it goes into your thigh, and it's quite deep inside your thigh. Mm. And then it comes, it sort of curls round to the back of your knee, and then you have this branch that goes through a space in between. So you've got your tibia, your shin bone, and then your fibula on the side, and there's a space in between the two. And so you've got a blood vessel that comes through that space to the front of your leg, and stomach 36 is bang on the spot where that blood vessel comes through. So coming back to that early discussion that we were having of like, what can you get to? You know, that is going to be for this big, big blood vessel, that's the main blood vessel in your leg. That's a place where you can actually access it. And a lot of the time, the treatment that is recommended to do at stomach 36 is to warm it, use moxa. And so if you think of, you know, if you go with the analogy of you've got something and you put a gentle warmth underneath it, some fluid, then you kind of create more movement in it.
Yes.
If you're going for the more sort of modern science version, you get vasodilation.
Mm.
Yeah. But either way, it's sort of like you're warming the blood.
Well, whenever you warm something, you are putting energy into it. That's just a science fact. So when we are warming this point with moxa, so our wonderful Chinese herb moxa, and heating that up, then I can see from your explanation that we are adding energy to the flow of blood as it goes around the body. And that, look at me, I'm speaking Vivian Shaw. And that in a way might lead to some of the wonderful transformations that we have, you know, people being able to walk again after chronic fatigue, you know, being able to get that energy back. Wonderful. Yeah. Okay, how about point combinations? Is there any explanation about why some points work so beautifully together?
I can talk about a couple of point combinations. So one includes stomach 36, so its friend is spleen 6. So coming back to, you've got this main artery that comes down the leg, and then you've got a branch that's coming through in between the shin bone and the fibula that's coming to the front. That's your stomach 36. You've got another one that comes right down. It sort of sits right behind your shin bone and comes all the way down. And then it appears sort of on the inside of your ankle, where spleen 6 is. So you've got, when you're doing both of them, particularly if you're doing moxa on both of them, then you've got both big branches of the main artery that's feeding into your leg and coming back up. So the arteries don't come back up, the veins do. So those two work together on the same sort of general principle. And then there's another pair that we use a lot. It's called the Four Gates treatment. It's liver 3 and colon 4. And colon 4 is on your hand, and what you get is you get the arteries, main arteries again, they come down your hand, and then the artery goes over the back and comes back down in, and it creates this like loop. So basically you've got a loop of artery in the hand, and then and the same in the foot. So you've got your main artery goes down, comes through to the front, goes down, goes over your instep. And then in between your first and second toes, or the bones that go to them, it forms a loop and it comes underneath the sole of your foot. Mm. So you've got this extraordinary thing. And where it comes underneath the foot is the point that, if anybody's a Tai Chi fan, is Bubbling Spring. So it's the point where you're connecting with the earth. But so on this point, you've got this loop, this slingshot almost, where the blood vessel does this extraordinary thing. It goes around and comes back up on itself. And you've got the same thing on the hand. And so it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. If what you're doing is you are smoothing flow, if you are optimizing balance, and what you've done is you've taken the point where you've got the front and the back flows meeting, and at that point you control that, and you level it out in the foot, and then you level it out in the hand, but then you've done this sort of global treatment where you are just making everything balance, the whole of the flow of the blood and with it the chi throughout the whole body, because you've taken the endpoints.
I love
as
that
a way of getting to it.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Whenever I'm thinking about these gorgeous end points, so nail points or gorgeous points like Bubbling Spring, which is on the sole of the foot, it always makes me think of, you know, whenever you watch professional swimmers and they're swimming, and then they turn around when they get to the end of the pool.
That's brilliant.
The way that I visualize that energy. That wonderful, you were going in one direction and then you're going in a completely different direction. Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Now, acupuncture points. So many of my patients come to see me because in addition to helping with their physical ailments, their pains, their aches, they feel more able to cope. They feel happier. They notice an effect on their emotions. How does this sit within your observations?
So I think for Chinese medicine at the time, you know, I'm just talking here purely about the anatomy, but there is a whole system of what we would call physiology, where they explain how the body works by analogy. And every part of the body has a spiritual aspect, an emotional aspect, a mental aspect, and a physical aspect. And so when you are engaging with the anatomy, you're engaging with the most sort of fundamentally physical part of that bigger understanding. And, you know, and it's quite intuitive as well. You know, if you think, if you're, tired, then you get much more anxious, for example, you know, but, and then if you sort of solve the tiredness, then your anxiety levels come down. So there's this real kind of close, very ordinary, actually, connection between the body and the mind and the spirit that is just part of everybody's normal day-to-day experience. And so using acupuncture, you can engage with the physical side of that with the body, and then that will automatically harmonize throughout and reach you wherever you are not in balance. And if that's emotionally, then that's where you're touched.
I love that. I love that. Vivian, we could talk forever about this because it is so clear your joy and your absolute love for this subject is wonderful it's just so lovely to talk to you. Your research has sort of set the world of research a little bit on fire. Ordinarily, whenever you say research, people often go, okay, time for bed. but you have actually done so brilliantly. So I'd like you now to tell us why this research has done so brilliantly. Please, I want to hear a big, big, big pat on your own back now.
Thank you. The most recent paper I wrote, or that we wrote, I wrote with some colleagues, it's called Hiding in Plain Sight, Ancient Chinese Anatomy. And it talks about the earliest texts that we've got. They actually predate acupuncture, but acupuncture was very, very clearly built upon these texts. And so I did the same thing. I read the texts, I translated them, and then I went and made dissections and went, okay, what would they have been looking at? And so I wrote this paper, and it's in the top 99% of most read, most talked about papers of all time, which is great. It's fantastic. And, you know, there are tweets, there are blogs, it's appeared on Facebook pages, it's on a Russian Wikipedia page, it's gone across the world. It's really very, very exciting. And the really great thing about it is that I was arguing for this research shows that the Chinese they wrote the first anatomical atlas that's based on human dissection. The Greeks did it too, but theirs all got burned down in the fire of Alexandria. The Chinese, they stuck theirs in a tomb that was closed in 168 BC, that was found again in the 1970s, and it's intact.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. My feeling is that the reason why this has really captured people's imagination is that you are making something that traditionally has been very esoteric and shrouded in mystery, and you're making it really accessible to people. So I would like to say, as somebody who I view one of my missions on this earth to help people to understand acupuncture, I just thank you so much for doing this, because the more people that just accept acupuncture as it's a biological fact, the more people are then going to be able to appreciate this wonderful, wonderful system of medicine for themselves. If they want to read this article, what do people need to do?
If you go onto Google and you put in my name and acupuncture, or hiding in plain sight and acupuncture, or any variation of that, it will come up. It's open access. Anybody can read it for free. There is also a sort of article that I wrote for The Conversation, which is an online journal. And that also, if you put my name into The Conversation and acupuncture, then, well, not even acupuncture, but anyway, Chinese medicine, then that article will come up, and that's a lot shorter. So it depends on how much time you have. And the original article has got a lot of actual photos of dissection in it, which for some people is fascinating, is absolutely what they want to see. And for other people, they rather have the synopsis.
I can give that a miss, actually, Vivian. I can give the actual images a little bit of a miss. But Vivian Shaw, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your wonderful, wonderful research with us with so much love. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've loved it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we are almost at the end of today's show, but not quite. Have you been playing along to this week's cryptic game of themes? Here is your final clue.
When the darkest clouds are in the sky, you mustn't sigh and you mustn't cry. Spread a little happiness as you go by. Please try. What's the use of worrying and feeling blue when days are long? Keep on smiling through. Spread a little happiness till dreams come true. Surely you'll be wise to make the best of every blues day. Don't you realize you'll find next Monday or next Tuesday your golden shoes day? Even when the darkest clouds are in the sky, you mustn't sigh and you mustn't cry. Spread a little happiness as you go. I've got a creed for every need, so easy that it must succeed. I'll set it down for you to read, so please take heed. Keep out the gloom, let in the sun. That's my advice to everyone. It's only once we pass this way. So day by day, even when the darkest clouds are in the sky, you mustn't sigh and you mustn't cry. Spread a little happiness as you go by. Please try. What's the use of worrying and feeling blue when days are long? Keep on smiling through. Spread a little happiness till dreams come true. Surely you'll be wise to make the best of every blues day. Don't you realize?
So, how did you do, my dears? Were you able to crack this week's cryptic game of themes? Of course you were. Because in honour of our marvellous guest, Vivian Shaw, and her investigation of bodies, which has led us to this wonderful exploration and explanation of why acupuncture points are where they are. Well, this week's theme is Vivian Shaw and her investigation of bodies. How so? I hear you cry, how so? Well, we kicked off with Body Talk, that slinky little number by Imagination. We have this song. Vivian Ellis wrote it, Spread a Little Happiness. And in the middle, we had All Saints and their rather wonderful song, Pure Shores. And on that bombshell, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me, Kevin Durgin, here on Acupuncture Point. And I look forward to seeing you again next week. Lots of love. Goodbye.